Hello, everyone. Welcome to Making the Biblical Text Meaningful to Life, a platform on which difficult biblical texts are discussed. If you have any text that you want to understand,
hey,
send us an email, and we are going to research it and teach it right here on this platform. So send us any text or topic that you want to understand. This is our job, and welcome tonight to our time of teaching. We are looking at Lamech tonight, one of the Old Testament marriages. And so, hey, Rob.
Yes, sir.
Will you please lead us in prayer?
Yes. Our Heavenly Father, I give you thanks for this day that you've granted to us to come together, to fellowship, and to study your word. Father, thank you so much for caring for each and every one of us, ministering to us, and teaching us, Father. Lord, I pray that you prepare our hearts and our minds to receive your word tonight. Let nothing but your truth be spoken. Thank you so much for this opportunity, and we just consecrate this time unto you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Rob. Thank you. Let us turn into our Bibles in Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, beginning at verse 19. Lamech married two women, one named Ada and the other Zillah. Ada gave birth to Jabal. He was the father of those who live in tents and raise livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all who play the harp and flute. Zillah also had a son, Tubal-Cain, who forged all kinds of tools out of bronze and iron. Tubal-Cain's sister was Naaman. Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, listen to me, wives of Lamech. Hear my words. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for injuring me. If Cain is avenged seven times, then Lamech 77 times. Tonight we are going to study about a particular person, the very first polygamist in the Bible. And I want you to note very carefully from our discussion, if you have not really listened to part one and part two of our discussion on Cain, please go back to it, because it's going to connect you to the direction that we are taking. So go back and read that. Now, one of the descendants of Cain is Lamech. He got married, but Cain took one wife, he took two. So that's the problem. We have the third marriage mentioned in the Old Testament is this guy who was the very first polygamist. With Adam, God gave him a suitable wife created out of one of his ribs. God performed the first and only wedding during the pre-fall state. Now, I want you to note this very carefully. During the pre-fall state, it was only one wedding. And who performed that? God himself. Got a wife for Adam and brought her to Adam. And Adam said, joyfully, this is the bones of my bones and the flesh of my flesh. Therefore, she will be called what? Woman. because she was taken out of man. In this case, with Cain now, he married one of his sisters or nieces, as we had discussed. He was born unto the union of Adam and Eve after the fall and their expulsion from the Garden of Eden. He killed his brother Abel, the first man who committed incest and murder. It was Cain. Other scholars believe that God approves of this for the sake of procreation. That's been the argument. But please go back to the videos that I mentioned, and you will listen to the two arguments we have in there. We disagreed to this view and insisted that this was an act of sin. That's our position. It was not God who told Adam to procreate during his pre-fall state. Had he remained holy before God, God had a way for him to have procreated. But when he sinned against God and was thrown out of the presence of God, he began his own procreation, which resulted into sin. This has been our discussion. So go back to it and listen to it. Go back, because it's something good. Go back to it and listen to it. The fifth in the line of Cain's family line was Lamech. He was the very first man who took two wives. He was the very first man from Cain who killed someone and boasted of what he did. Oh, yeah. He told his wives boastfully, "I killed a man who hurt me." You know, if Cain was avenged seven times, my own would be 70 times seven. He was just boasting. All right. Specifically, what we're going to do tonight in this study. And this study is so, I love it so much. And what we intend to give you at the end of this study, these are the things that you will know. You will understand that there are two persons named Lamech in the Bible. It's exciting. The Lamech of Cain's descendant and the Lamech of Seth's descendant. Now, this is not strange. We all do this even nowadays. In a family, you can get John Brown will have his son David, and John Brown's brother will also have a name one of his children or one of his, you know, children or boy by giving the same David name. The same thing happened in my family where I have few of my children that they took my name. All right, so that was similar. But look how the whole thing worked out. We have two, and I want you to note this very carefully. The Lamech of Cain, who came from the line of Cain, and the Lamech who came from the line of Seth. And who was Seth? The third son of Adam and Eve. Don't forget that. The second was killed by his brother Abel. By his brother Cain, rather. Abel was killed by his brother Cain. What you want to learn in this study, you will discover and believe the two lines that we talk about. Someone rightly said, the first line he said, the unrighteous line of Cain. And the second line, the righteous line of Seth. Now, in the unrighteous line of Cain, we have Methuselah, who was the father of Lamech, the first polygamist and murderer. In the pre-fall, he was the second. His grandfather killed, and he also killed. Then he took two wives. That is the problem. Now, the righteous, but the point that I want you to think about tonight is the whole line of Cain perished during the flood. Now, we know that. Now, the righteous line of Seth, Lamech, the father of Noah. Now, the other Lamech, he was Lamech, the father of what? Methuselah. But this Lamech, who is the line of Jesus Christ, I want you to know that he was the father of Noah. And you all know Noah, the one that God used during the flood. Now, the next thing that we're going to talk about here, you know already the first polygamist in the Bible, and that is this wonderful brother who did that. You will understand and believe that, like Cain, Lamech married two of his family members. Now, here's the point. From our previous discussion, we had discussed that when during the pre-fall state, Adam and his wife lived a holy life. But when they fell, incest became the result of sin. Now, if you want to argue, please go back, listen to the two videos, and then you can present your argument. Because God, who said, prior to the fall, that I want you to procreate, God had a plan for Adam and Eve to procreate during their perfection. But when they fell, we said the plan of God was changed. To what? To the plan of redemption. Know that. All right. Now, you will discover that the descendants of Cain were destroyed during the flood. We don't get the descendants of Cain. They all remain in the flood. The first question we want to answer is, who was Lamech? Well, we've been discussing this. You know him already, all right? He was the son of Methuselah, the man who had two wives, and he had three sons and one daughter. All right? This was the first man who became the first polygamist in the Bible. Do you think that his marriage was biblical? I don't think so. If it is biblical, please let me know. All right? He married based upon what he felt was good for him. And then he went as far as killing somebody and boasted to his wives. I kill a man. You know, he boasted. So that was the man in question. Then we have the second one, the father of Noah, the father of Noah, who mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus Christ in Luke 3:36. Now, he was a son of the oldest known man and patriarch, Methuselah. Noah was the oldest of Lamech's several sons. Now we get a little bit confused. We got a little bit confused, right? Because here is the point. We have the line of Seth has a Lamech. Then the line of Cain has a Lamech. This is the situation. So the line of Cain, Lamech, the father is Methuselah. But the line of Seth, the Lamech in this land, in this line, the father was Methuselah. And who was that Methuselah? You know him. The man who lived a very long time, almost a millennium, 900 and some more years he lived. All right, all right. But Lamech died he lived about 777 years old when he died. And you can find that in Genesis 5:31. He was the seventh in descent from Seth. He is the only son of Methuselah, the only son in the Bible. Hey, Rob, are you there?
Yes.
Yeah, you said you have a comment here. We're still looking at the objective. Yo, what do you say about this? You got a note? Help us.
So, yeah, a couple of quick thoughts.
All right.
One, a reminder about genealogies. Scripture gives us the genealogies to show us the lineage of Christ, which fulfills prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also some other things that we see revealed here as well that we should find as encouragement and things that give strength to our faith.
Right.
So we see in this genealogy, we see tent make, you know, those that live in tents, herdsmen of cattle,
right.
The harp, organ, inventor of brass, Tubal-Cain. These are incredible things that happen, you know, in the very early days
right.
Of creation. So again, reminding everybody that we think we're progressing and advancing and because of all this technology, but
uh-huh.
We see here many of these things have been around a long, long time. Or as Solomon said, there is nothing new under the sun. So I just want to point out that, you know, there are two Lamechs, one who descends from a rebellious family,
mm-hmm.
And the other from those who return to God, as Genesis 4:26 records. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos.
Uh-huh.
Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord.
Lord.
And so just like there's two Lamechs, there's also two paths in life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, rebellion against God or turning back into God. You know, as Matthew 7:13-14 points out, enter ye into the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life.
Mm-hmm.
And few there be that find it. And we know we had two Lamechs, one whose descendants were Noah, and there was a judgment in the time of Noah. And which ones live? The ones that seek the narrow gate that
yep.
followed and returned to God. So just keeping that in mind. And I like to think of it too, because Lamech, there's a couple meanings that you pointed out. It means mm. powerful, youth. Strong young man, conqueror, one who overthrows and destroyer. Well, the one who descends from Cain, we can think of his name in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
These are mighty things that, you know, men tend to praise and put up. Oh, he's strong and he's powerful and seems great to man. But in the eyes of God, it really means nothing.
Right.
Now, one of the other names for Lamech is man of prayer.
Man of prayer, right.
Again, going to my thing that there's two paths. You know, the sons of Seth began returning and calling upon the name of the Lord. So here we have a man of prayer. So again, the contrast in the two names, the two lives, and the two paths in life.
Thank you. Great. Yeah, you nail it. And that's right. You are correct. We know that God is in full control, and we see what God is doing in the lives of these. I mean, within the same family, the line of Cain and the line of Seth, they have the same Lamech. Seth have one, and his brother got one. The name meant the same thing, but one was so corrupt and so terrible. And the other one sought God. This is where we are. All right. Thank you. Now, we want to know, too, where did Lamech get his wives? And who performed his wedding? The only thing that we are told in the Bible is that he got married. We do not know how. We do not know how he got married. No record. Bible did not tell us anything. So there's no record. His wives, we know their name, Ada and Zillah. Now, Lamech means man of prayer. Now, my brother writes this, a powerful youth, strong young man, conqueror, one who overthrows, destroyer. The striker down. This is a man who is so powerful, a man of prayer. But what happened? Something wrong. So, like Cain, Lamech married two of his sisters or nieces. That's what happened. All right? So there was no other races. Now, I want to make that point clear. There no other races on earth from which they could get someone. But they married from within their household, which was why? Because of the fall. Don't forget that. We had already discussed it. I don't want to go back to that. Like Cain, there is no record of how his wedding were performed. The only thing we know about Cain got married. But we don't know how the whole thing was done. We have a record of how Adam was married. Everything was done by God. God did everything for Adam. But we don't know how Cain got married. We don't know how Lamech got his two wives. So there's no record. And we can't make up one. That's to be very difficult. Lamech was the second murderer, a boaster, and a poet. Now, we said that he was a poet in that the boastful saying to his wives became a poetry. The boastful saying to his wife, listen to, when you read that carefully, if you have studied Hebrew poetry, you will know exactly that in fact, most of them praise him. And you can see right now here, Lamech said to his wives boastfully, Ada and Zillah, that's poetry. Listen to me, wives of Lamech, hear my words. I killed a young man for injuring me. If king is avenged seven times, then Lamech 77 times. He was most scholars have said that just this boastful thing alone, there were a lot of things in there with poetry. So, you know, and you can see it. And I think I got some on the screen that you can look at it very carefully, how the whole thing slides up. If you are using a computer, you'll see what I'm talking about here. It's a very unique poem, using a variety of literary devices to the maximum effect. See, that was a major parallelism. Ada and Zillah, wives of Lamech, hear my voice. You see the whole line, how the whole thing is sliced up. So he was kind of, that's what scholars have said about him. But this is not the point that we are looking at. The point we're looking at is, who was he? Hey, Rob, I think you got a note here.
Yeah. Just want to draw a making an analysis.
Right.
In America, when you turn on the news, what do you hear? Lots of social ills, crime, murder, etc.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but yet we go back to the very beginning, and Cain killed his brother.
Right.
Here, in Genesis 4:23. Lamech talks about killing a man as well. You know, so again, we see this repeated behavior. You know,
right.
This is sin. It's been with us since Adam fell. We're not progressing like we think we are.
No.
You know, we have to remember, without God, there cannot be progress.
That's
without
true.
Repentance, you know, there can be no forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And again, without God, we can't do anything, really. So instead, there's going to be pain, suffering, problems, social ills. So remember, Lamech means destroyer and conqueror. You know, he was mighty in his own sight, but not in the sight of God. You know, so murders, social ills, murder and social ills, all these things have plagued us since time immemorial. And so I just want to point out that we're really not progressing like we think we are. Outside of God, there's nothing that we can do. We're going to have these problems.
Thank you. Thank you. You are right. We think we are progressing, but in reality, you are right. Things are just going downhill. You know, when Cain alluded to the promise that God made to, I mean, when Lamech alluded to the promise that God made to his grandfather, Cain, he took it out of context. See, he felt that Cain sees this as a sign of approval rather than an act of mercy, since he claims for himself even greater vengeance. Either Lamech believed that he too will have divine protection, or his arrogant boasting arises from his belief that his own greatness precludes the need for divine protection. Now, what he sees in the whole thing is that he did not see the mercy of God in the picture, but he sees the approval of God for his great-grandfather, Cain, who God said that I'm going to punish you. And when he cried to God, God said, okay, God have mercy upon him. But Lamech is using, he sees this as a kind of approval. So his boasting was a kind of, oh, if this thing happened to my great-great-grandfather and God approved of it by killing a young man, God will also approve. That's not true. That's not true. That's the feeling he had. And I back this statement that came from the Fifth Life Study Bible, which is a commentary on Genesis chapter 4:24. I agree with them on that, because if he felt that what he did was sinful, he would have done something differently. But he was boasting. Yeah, okay. Now, we learned that he got married. We didn't know how he did the whole thing. He married two of his family members, like his father. But the marriages were blessed with four children. The marriages were blessed with four children. He is the only, now look at it. He is the only one except Enoch of the posterity of Cain whose history is related with some details. The two wives, the first is Adam. The name probably means ornament or pretty. It is also the name of one of Esau's wives. In the long run, Esau took a wife, and Esau, one of his wives' name was Ada. So, you know, the second wife, Zillah, which means shadow or protection. And her daughter named Naamah, with Eve, the only people that women names that were mentioned by Moses before the flood. So they have a little good record in the Bible, and that we can trace. Other than that, nothing else. Okay, her three sons, Jubal, and Tubal-Cain, are celebrated in scripture as authors of what? One of them became shepherds, the other guy became musician, and the other guy was the father of metal work. He was good in iron, he would do anything you could think about. So all of these things that we see today, they are not new. This is the point that we're trying to make. They're really not new. They are something that have been around for years. All right? So that was the three sons of Lamech. They were blessed with the knowledge. The other guy was a great shepherd. The one was a musician. He worked with all kind of iron, sharpening iron. He could do anything that you want him to do. All right, so, but don't forget, note this very carefully. Zillah has a daughter by the name of Naamah. Note that very carefully. We'll come to that later on when we get to start studying Noah. Okay, so we have looked at the whole picture. We look at Adam. I mean, not Adam. We look at Lamech. his wedding, and his murder of someone and boasting, and the things that he did in life, the blessing that God gave, that he got from God through his two wives. He had four children. God gave him four children. What I want us to think about now, to learn, one of the promises we made to you in our specific objective was, you are going to learn the genealogy of Lamech from Adam to the flood. And one guy, an anonymous author, calls it the unrighteous line. Call it what? The unrighteous line. So now let's look at it. We have what? We have Adam, who was, you know, Adam. Then we have what? Cain, Enoch, Arad, Methuselah, then now Lamech. Now he was the polygamist, a murderer, a boastful, a poet. We studied that already. This was the kind of person that he was. Now, we had Jabal and Jubal and Tubal-Cain. These were Lamech's sons. We talk about them already. They were the father of shepherding, music, and metalworking. Now, this was the generation from the line of Cain from Adam to the flood. Let me repeat that. The generation from the line of Cain from Adam to the flood. Okay, what is the next thing? Okay. Now we are going to study the genealogy of Lamech from Adam to Noah. Which Lamech are we talking about? Now, we told you that we have two. The line of Cain has one Lamech. And the father of that Lamech was who? Methuselah. Now, the line of Seth, the third son of Adam and Eve, has one Lamech. And that Lamech was the father of Noah. I want you to get this. That's not one Lamech in Genesis. The two of them we're talking about here, but you got to know the differences. You got to know the one for Cain and the one for Seth. The same family have the same name, but they did two different things. One was the line of Jesus Christ, and the other one was the line of destruction. So, you got it. We got day, we got night, we got land, we got sea, we got, so we have Lamech of destruction and Lamech of righteousness. Let's trace his line. We come back now. We have studied the Lamech of Cain and the genealogy from Adam to the flood. We did that already. Now we will now look at the genealogy of Seth from Adam to Noah. All right. So let's look at it. First is Adam. He lived to see his 8th generation descendants. Wow. Okay. Seth. Eve named him Seth, which means appointed. And she felt that it was the appointed time that God had replaced Abel, you know, to redeem them. But in reality, God had his own plan in working on this. So when that child was born, he said, this is the appointed time. No, that was not it. She had a long way to go. All right. Then we had Enoch. In his days, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. This is a revival of true religion. Took place in his time. Now, this is a major note. Here's a point that I want to make about this note. In my book, growing missionaries biblically. I think I have a copy right here. Let me just show that to you. Maybe you want to grab a copy on Amazon or so forth. But here's the book, Growing Missionaries Biblically. In this book, I discuss a unique point concerning what I'm about to talk. God promised made to Adam and Eve in the garden when they sinned against him. God promised them redemption. And that redemption, it was only God who kept the promise. Let me come back to that. God is the promise keeper. It's not you. You're going to fall. You're going to blow it. But when God made a promise, he keeps it. So God made a promise that you have fallen. You cannot remain here. You're going to get out of my sight. But I will come back and bring you back to this place. So while they were going, there were a lot of things that were happening that we don't have record of. Okay. But whenever, and one thing I love about the Hebrew writing, whenever they make a note on something, there's something important going on there. So scholars, when they make a note, you got to say, something is here. Now, let me tell you, let me come back to this. Where is it? In his days, man began to call upon the name of the Lord. When they text like this, that mean previous time, even though they were living, but there was no good revival. Who did it? Was it Seth? No. Was it Adam? No. Was it Enoch? No. Who did it? God. God did it. Because God said, I am going to bring you back. So in every generation, God will raise up somebody to use for revival. So in the generation of Seth, God raised up who? Enoch, to begin to bring revival to the righteous line. This is important. I mean, it's very important. I want you to note this very carefully. Oh, it is very important. So then Cana and Mahalia, Jael, these are the generation. Then we get back to Enoch. He lived for nearly a millennium, but 909 years. Then we have Methuselah. We have Lamech, who's the father of Noah. Then we have Noah. Now, here the generation from Adam to Noah as 10 generations. So let's look at it from the diagram we have here. And I just want to thank God for Rob, who, I mean, he just came up with this thing here. And I said, man, Rob, man, you're doing great. All right. Hey Rob, are you there?
I am.
Okay, you explain to me that diagram you have here. What you have on here? Give me an idea. What you doing here? What he did here, everything we've been discussing, he just laid out in this format. Okay.
Yeah, I just want so that we read through the genealogies, and it a lot of times it seems like a lot of text. We don't always understand why it's there, but God never puts information out without there being a purpose.
That's true.
As you alluded to, Pastor Liberty.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to put this out so we can kind of visualize what's going on. You see the amount of generations. You can see which are the lines and what they led to,
right.
The various inventions, progression. And then we can see the two paths, the way of Cain and the way of Seth.
Right.
Seth, whose descendants began calling upon God, and Cain, whose descendants continued in his path, who were murderers and so on, and ultimately perished in the flood.
Yeah.
I did have another thought as well. Mm-hmm. Going back, you know, this Lamech, the Lamech who descends from Cain, he's the first recorded polygamist in the Bible, but we don't know if he's actually the first polygamist. He's just the one that's mentioned here.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind. You know, in the scripture, in the genealogies, only is going to include stuff that is important for us.
Right.
And I was thinking about this. There's one thing I've noticed with these. Scripture mentions all the various inventions, the harp, you know, the brass,
yeah,
and so on. So, you know, we see how advanced man was, and you know, as man thinks he's progressing and achieving great things, but what does Scripture tell us about that? You know, Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction,
mm-hmm,
and a haughty spirit before a fall. You know, and we see this, you know,
that's
Lamech the sentence. Lamech himself, you know, he thought he was mighty and great, and you know, and there's all these inventions that were happening,
uh-huh,
but then came the flood. The same thing happened with Nimrod. If you remember, Scripture says Nimrod was a mighty warrior before God.
Uh-huh.
When I read that the first few times I was studying it, I was like, oh, that's a good thing. No, only in man's perspective it's a good thing. But as I actually dug into it and looked at the language and what's happening, it's actually he's a mighty warrior against God, rebelling against God. He's the one who led the building of the Tower of Babel.
Uh-huh.
And again, it was this great rebellion against God. And what happened?
Yeah.
It was cast down.
Cast down, right.
So just want to remind everybody, there's two paths. The way of Lamech of Seth, who is a man of prayer, who calls on the name of God, and what's he remembered for? Being the forefather of Noah, who was found righteous. Or there's the other way, the Lamech of Cain, who was a mighty conqueror and a murderer, and who is remembered for what? His rebellion.
Good. Thank you. Wow. Yeah, you nailed it.
So we see that in this chart. We see the two paths.
Right. Right.
One continues on, the other ended.
The other ended, right. Okay. Now, thank you. In concluding, like Cain, Lamech married two of his family members. And that's all we can think about. And like Cain, he killed a man and boasted of his evil deed. Also, he was the second man in Adam descending to commit murder too. And the point is, and I love what you said, this scripture, he was the first man mentioned in scripture to be a polygamist, but at that time, the family had multiplied, and maybe there were several persons living at that time who had two, three wives, or four wives, and he said, well, this is something good, I need to do that. But we are looking at what, I agree with you. Because where did he see it? He got it from somebody. All right. Now, the Lamech that we are studying is the son of Methuselah from the line of Cain. And I think Brother Rob got it nailed already. And not Lamech, the father of Noah, who hailed from the line of Seth, the line of Jesus Christ. We need to look at the generation, the whole generation of Cain was completely destroyed during the flood. Don't forget that. His three sons, Jubal, and Tubal Cain, were people of great talents, as we had already discussed. But they had one daughter, Naaman. Don't forget about that daughter. We're going to talk about her later. Not in this teaching, but in the next one. So, here are things that God has been doing through mankind. Now, the next wedding to be discussed next week is Noah, the father of the new world. Well, the same question, where did he get his wife? And what is the name of his wife? Where the woman came from? What's the name of the woman? We have the name. We do not have the name of Cain's wife. So up to this time, we don't know. But we have the names of Lamech wives. But we do not have the name of Noah's wife. Who was she? Now, we're going to check on it next week. Okay, if you are here and you want to make a comment, let me just unmute everybody. And you can come in if you have a question. Hey, everybody is free now. You can come in and ask your question or make your comment. You have a all comment right, tonight?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much, Dr. Liberty and Dr. Rob. I like the presentation that this evening is so nice, and the graph that Dr. Rob came up with. It's a good, I think that's the genealogy, you know, graph, and that is good.
Thank you.
I want you to explain that as it relates to the qualification of a pastor or the leader of a church, where it says he must be a man of one wife, husband of one wife. Due to the fact that you said this man Lamech from the king's line, he was a polygamist.
Yeah.
So my question is that can that polygamy be practiced today because it was practiced, it was a culture practiced in the Old Testament? Because if you find out, David himself was a polygamist.
Good.
Only Adam, the Bible talks about a one man, one wife principle, he held onto it. But the rest of them, of course, Noah. But can a pastor or a Christian today in the 21st century be a polygamy because labor or practice polygamy, sir?
Very good. Now, you know, I don't want to get ahead of myself.
Right.
I think the premise that we establish is that, and let me come back to our title.
Right.
The title of this teaching is, what is a Christian marriage, right?
Yeah.
Are American marriages biblical? Let me not say Americans, okay? Mm-hmm. But are the marriages in the world today biblical?
Very few.
And I want to say to you in a shock, and I'm telling you, I can say no.
Okay.
They are cultural.
Okay.
But from the cultural perspective,
right,
you can make it biblical.
Okay.
So we are on our way. That's a good question you asked, but we're on our way there.
I'll reserve comment. I'll reserve comment for now. Thank you.
Because this is why we're teaching here. Everyone think that when they go to the church, you know, they march in the church, they got about 7% on this side, 25% on this side, and they had a rainbow wedding.
Right.
Then it's biblical. It's cultural.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
The point here is, you can have a rainbow wedding, but your heart and the heart of your wife is not together on the lordship of Jesus Christ. It's cultural.
Exactly.
So I don't want to get ahead of me. Okay.
Right. Thank you, Dad. One final point before you go. There's a gentleman who spent $1.4 million in L.A. on a wedding. And on the wedding day, he asked the lady, will you marry me? She said no.
Very good. Did you answer the question?
Yeah.
See? Yeah. All right. Anybody, did you have a comment, a question you want to ask? Thank you, Dr. Walla, for joining us. You're always with us, and we thank God for you.
You're welcome, Dad.
All right. Anybody, you have a comment? If you are on the phone, You can ask. You can because everyone is unmuted. You're free to ask. All right. Okay. See no one.
Everybody?
Yeah.
I'm not on the video. I don't know what's wrong. I just went off.
Right, but we're still hearing you and we're seeing your webcam sign.
Yeah, okay. Your presentation and Dr. Rob, you know, he encourages us to go back to begin to read the Bible as a means of studying it, not right, just pass over these things. Because all of these details, we have read the Bibles and these details, want to believe that did not register with a whole lot of us.
Yeah.
And one of them, because we just read over it without studying it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So some of these facts that are coming up, they seem so strange to us.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas we have read them, and because we did not read the Bible as a study material, just for reading sake, we do not get the details. We skip right over the details, you know, they do not register. So I think this is a good encouragement for us to begin to study it in a way that we'll be able to gather the details, and so that it will be at our fingertips.
Right.
Just like this, you know, for you guys, you know. You know, it seems like it's something that we have never read before, whereas a whole lot of us have read these same materials that you are presenting in full detail that, you know, did not register with us. So, yeah, for me, it encourages me to go back, you know.
Thank you.
That's great to hear. I know the first few times I read through these, I didn't realize there was so much material in them. I was like, oh, okay, I can just skip over this and just kind of skimmed it. And then, but then when I saw, actually what caught my eye was about Tubal-Cain and the invention, you know, of, well, they call it the Iron Age.
Yeah.
You know, iron, everything that came from that. And then I heard a pastor talk about it and talking about the purpose of the genealogies. And then when I was in seminary, I started learning more and I just kept digging in. And now I don't skip over them. I try to dig in and see really what's in there.
Right.
That's just really great to hear.
Thank you. Thank you, then. Thank you. Thank you. All right, guys, our time is far spent. Okay, thank you. Come back next week, and we are going to look at, study next week, Noah, his wedding. I don't know. When you know the name of his wife, please send it to me. All right? I want to know the name of his wife. And, you know, okay. Hey, Rob. No, okay.
Yes.
Let me ask Brother Walla to pray for us today.
Okay. Okay. Most gracious and everlasting Father, we want to thank you tonight. The last day in the month of May that we are able to hear this section on the teaching of the land of limits. We thank you for Dr. Liberty. We thank you for Dr. Rob. We thank you for Brother Cabo, Musa Cabo. We just bless your name, Lord, for all the participants in this program tonight. We pray, dear Lord, that it will sink deeply into our hearts, that we will give key heed to studying your word. Because you say, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Thank you for Dr. Liberty. Put it in time and Dr. Rob for rightly dividing the word of truth in our ears. We pray for next week, Sunday. We pray, dear Lord, that you will be with us. Give us the strength to do those things that you want us to do. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
And amen.
Thank you. Come back next week, Noah.
Yeah.